blessed day when from the tomb the Son of Man in triumph rose. Where darkness reigned, now shines the light of hope eternal, pure and bright.
Oh, blessed day,
oh, blessed day,
when I shall see
the risen Christ who died for me.
And on that bright and peaceful shore,
rest in his love forever. Blessed day when on the way with his disciples Jesus walked. Their saddened hearts within them burned as to the scriptures Jesus turned.
Oh, blessed day!
Oh, blessed day!
When I shall see
the risen Christ.
Died for me. And on that bright and peaceful shore,
rest in his love forevermore. Oh, blessed day in Bethany, when Christ ascended to his home. Redemption's wondrous work is done, and lo, the Comforter has come.
Oh, blessed day,
when I shall see the risen Christ.
And on that peaceful shore, rest
in his love forevermore. Thrice blessed day when Jesus comes to take his ransomed children home. Ye saints of God, arise and sing hosannas to your Savior King.
Oh, blessed day,
oh, blessed day,
when I shall see
the risen Christ,
who died for me. And on that bright and peaceful shore,
rest in his love forever.
Our next scripture reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 28. Please stand in honor of God's word. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 28. Reading together. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
You may be seated.
Shall I see God?
Thank you.
Once again, please take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Please stand in honor of God's word. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 18. Reading together.
I John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore.
Amen.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. You may be seated.
Crying in Gethsemane.
Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We will begin at verse 11. If you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that someone was dead, and then you saw them, what would be your response? Jesus was clearly dead. His crucifixion was very public. His death was confirmed by the Roman soldiers, and his body was buried. And yet, a few days later, there were numerous sightings of Jesus alive. What I want to do is look at the response of those people who saw Jesus, who was dead and then was very much alive. The first of these is Mary here, Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. She had been to the tomb and seen it empty. Run had gotten Peter and John, and they ran to the tomb and saw it empty. And Mary was absolutely convinced that Jesus was still dead because she said, "They've taken away his body, and I know not where they have laid it." We read a little bit earlier in the service this passage of Scripture where she hears him and sees him, but supposes that he is the gardener, because she is not thinking at all that Jesus was alive. And when he speaks her name, it's all it took. The familiar voice. He had spoken her name before. And now to hear it again, the truth dawns upon her. it comes flashing into her like a bolt of lightning. Jesus is alive. And in verse 16, John chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Why Rabboni rather than Rabbi? Did you ever wonder that? There are only two places in the New Testament where Rabboni is used. It's not just another form of rabbi, although it is related to rabbi. In fact, there were three forms of the word. One of them is not used in the New Testament, just the short term rab, meaning master. It was a Babylonian title. You know, before the Babylonian captivity, even the Jews did not use the term rabbi. They picked it up from the Babylonians. Rab, meaning master, was a title given by the Babylonians to learned men who had achieved a certain level of education. Rabbi, then, in the land of Israel, became a title or designation bestowed upon the men who had recognition from the Sanhedrin of acquiring a certain level of education and the laying on of hands of the Sanhedrin. But Rabboni, the only other time it's used in the New Testament is when it's spoken by a blind man who is requesting of the Lord to be healed. Rabboni was a very special title above that of rabbi. Rabboni meant great master and was the greatest designation of all. Very few obtained to that level of honor. But when Mary saw that Jesus was alive from the dead, immediately her mind recognized that he deserved the greatest expression of honor. I'm sure she had called him rabbi many times before. But now, Rabboni. Then there's Thomas. Skeptical Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. But you know, we call him Doubting Thomas because he declared he had to see in order to believe. The other disciples, the other 10, had seen and then they believed. You know, they were really kind of in the same situation. Verse 19 of the same chapter. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. Now we have no reaction of the disciples until they actually see. He says, you know, here I am, see. And they see. They see his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad. You know, compared to Thomas's reaction, that seems a little mild, don't you think? Oh, they're glad. Well, I'm sure it was maybe a little more than I'm giving the impression of. But compare that to what happened when Thomas saw. Thomas had declared, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, Except I shall see. Now notice what they have said. We have seen the Lord. He says, No, I need to see. I think Thomas's faith was no less than the other men. They saw and they believed. He says, I need to see and believe too. But he says, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus had already shown the prints in his hands and his side to the other disciples. So it's 8 days later, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side." Now Jesus invites him to do that. It doesn't actually say he does it. I don't think it was necessary. Because in seeing that Jesus was alive, Thomas now understands there's something even more special about Jesus. Jesus had been claiming this all along. And the disciples sort of got it, but not entirely. But in this moment, Thomas got it. For his reaction in verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord." Now that's a term. They may have called him Lord before. But this next one, "and my God," takes it to an entirely different level. Thomas's response was profound. Lord, of course, was a title of honor expressive of respect and reverence which servants gave to their masters. Jesus had often been referred to with this term by the disciples and by many others. If Thomas had stopped right there, it wouldn't be as remarkable. But then he declares that Jesus is my God. To declare that Jesus was his God, Thomas added a whole new dimension to his faith. Everything that Jesus had taught in the last 3 years suddenly coalesced into one big truth. Jesus was not just the Son of Man. He was, as he declared himself to be, the Son of God. The Pharisees and the chief priests had a big problem with that, remember? That was one of the charges in the trial before the crucifixion. "Art thou then the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "You said it. I am." And Thomas declares it to be fact. It's true. You're alive, and you are indeed the Son of God, and therefore God Himself. Seeing Jesus alive from the dead, Thomas's faith took a huge leap into the truth. The living Jesus, alive from the dead, is God. Would you go to Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. Saul, who would become Paul, is the apostle come lately. I'm convinced that Saul was present at the crucifixion. He believed with his whole heart that Jesus was dead. If nothing else, he was one who subscribed to the lie perpetrated by the chief priests when they paid off the Roman soldiers who had been guarding the grave and were witnesses of the resurrection. Remember, they went and reported to, instead of reporting to Pilate first, they went to the chief priest and reported. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 11, 15, they paid money to the Roman soldiers to lie and say that the disciples had come and carried his body away. And in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, it says, "And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." And I think Saul really bought into that. "Oh, the disciples carried the body away. Jesus isn't really alive." Saul was convinced Jesus was dead, and he was going about persecuting those who claimed that he was alive. He thought it was a lie. It had to be shocking to Saul to realize that Jesus was alive. Shocking to his entire system. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 9, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And suddenly everything changed for Saul. You see, the fact that Jesus arose from the dead and is alive changes everything for anyone who encounters the risen Christ. So many people today still think Jesus is dead. They call him a good man, a good teacher. But will not accept that he is alive. But Saul, one of those who bought into that lie of Jesus still being dead, saw him very much alive here on the road to Damascus. And now, here's his response in verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When you encounter the living Christ, you immediately understand that as he is the Lord, you must serve him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John has been serving the risen Christ for 60 years. This is 60 years after the resurrection. John believes. In fact, John, who writes for us this book of Revelation through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, was the very first one to believe in the resurrection. Remember when Peter and John run to the empty tomb. And John gets there first, but he stops at the door. Peter, in his haste, just runs right past John into the tomb. And then John follows. And John chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. John was the very first one to believe in the risen Savior, that Jesus had risen from the dead, the first of the disciples to acknowledge that in his heart and in his faith. And here in Revelation chapter 1, it's 60 years later. He's been serving this risen Christ for all these years. And now it's the Lord's day, and he's worshiping the Lord on the Lord's day. And he hears this voice in verse 12. He turns to see the voice that spake. And what a vision he sees. Verse 13, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fire, fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. Brilliant. Because of the Shekinah glory he possessed intrinsically as the eternal Son of God, yet showing himself in his glorified human nature to to this precious servant who so faithfully served him all these years? What do you think John's response was? Oh, he walks over to him, slaps him on the shoulder, howdy. No, I don't think so. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Even after serving him all these years, even with the familiarity that he had with the Lord Jesus as one of those who wrote the New Testament scriptures, the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, now the privilege he will to have write the book of Revelation. As close as he was to the Lord Jesus Christ through all those years of service, to come face to face with such an overwhelming experience, he could do nothing but fall on his face at his feet. Let's put it all together. Mary recognized Jesus as possessing the place of the greatest honor. Thomas recognized that Jesus was not only the Son of Man, but was in fact God. Saul realized that in light of who Jesus really is, the best possible response was obedience. And John, even after serving the living Jesus for 60 years, adoringly fell at his feet and worshiped him. So what is your response to the living Christ? Do you give him the greatest honor of anything else in your life? Do you acknowledge him on a daily basis as your God? Do you obey him? And do you worship him in the posture of humility? He deserves it all. If you are encountering the living Jesus for the first time, the living God who sits in the greatest place of honor wants you to obey him. And here's how you do that. You acknowledge that you are a sinner and that your sin is against God and that you need a Savior because the wages of sin is death. You believe that the living Jesus is the Savior. You believe that he suffered for your sins on the cross. You believe that he shed his blood to redeem you from sin and death and hell. You believe that he died a real physical death. You believe in your heart that God the Father hath raised him from the dead and that he is alive and that he is the Savior. And with your mouth you confess your sin unto God and receive the living Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you encountering the living Christ for the first time? We encourage this kind of response. As you do so. And if you are encountering the living Christ today, having served him for some time, in your heart, fall at his feet and worship him. He deserves it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for raising Jesus from the dead. We know the work of redemption was completed on the cross as Jesus cried, "It is finished." But you have declared that the resurrection was necessary. As he dealt with sin and death and hell on the cross, he provided life in his resurrection. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today who is encountering the living Christ for the very first time, that their response would be one of acknowledgement of their sin and faith in the Savior, that they might receive him and live again with him. And Lord, for all of us who have known Christ for a short time, for a long time, who have served him, loved him, and called him Lord, grant that we, in our hearts, may worship him as God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our closing song, if you would like to talk to someone about these things, receive counsel and help, or receive Christ as Savior, we encourage you to come as we sing our closing song.